Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Danny Kennedy, and you're listening to episode number 58. What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. And on today's show, we are joined by special guest Lionel Godwin. Lionel's a good friend of mine. He is extremely rich in knowledge in training and nutrition, and I think you're going to gain a lot of value and knowledge out of today's episode. We're going to cover a lot of different topics, but just sit back, enjoy today's episode. Please do leave a review if you enjoy the content on the show today, and I'll chat to you guys again at the end of the show. All right, Lionel, welcome to the show, mate. Glad to have you on. We've been trying to get this lined up for a while, so pretty pumped to have you on here today, and I'm looking forward to what you've got to share with me and the listeners, mate.
Good on you, Danny. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. What I'll get you to do to kick things off, mate, is just give the listeners a little bit of background about yourself in regards to business, but also your health and fitness lifestyle as well.
Okay, so started in business when I was 23. I opened my first gym. It's always been a labour of love of mine. I've basically spent a lifetime committed to health and wellness. From the age of about 10, I had some very good role models that I became very conscious of and learned from them the value of not only eating well, but of exercising. My grandmother was one of my great inspirations. I used to look at her. Out of all of the people that I knew, she was one of the few that didn't drink or smoke. And I always found it so remarkable that she had so much energy and vitality and such a clear thinking person, and that really resonated with me. And she bought me a book for my 10th birthday, which was a book written by a guy called Percy Cerruti, who was the coach of Herb Elliott. And one of the things that Percy Cerruti did, he was way ahead of his time in that he made a link between good training and effective training and nutrition. And that really just resonated with me. So I made a very conscious decision from 10 years of age to not drink soft drinks and iced coffees and to not eat lollies and to have a really good, clean approach to eating. And it just seemed to work for me. I was a prolific junior sportsman, played 7 different sports all year round and just loved the not only the camaraderie of playing sport, but more just the sheer joy and exhilaration from being able to be active every single day. It just, every day was, I never felt like it was a chore to be out training or playing sport or just being physically active. Well, I was very lucky in that we didn't get driven anywhere. We just always rode our bikes or actually ran everywhere. And for years and years and years, I did that. I rode my bike or ran everywhere, and from that just developed an enormous base from a fitness perspective that's basically stayed with me for the rest of my life. I'm 57 now, going on 58, and always knew that ultimately my business life would be based around health and fitness, and it largely has just been in the health and fitness industry.
What age were you when you first stepped foot in the gym, or when you first kind of got into strength training?
Okay, so I didn't start strength training until I was 23. I broke my jaw playing in a preliminary final of a football in the AFL in the Northern Territory, and I broke my jaw in a preliminary final, which basically meant I couldn't go and play rugby that year because I used to go straight from one season to the next. And so because I had nothing, virtually nothing I could do, I was a fireman at the time and we had a really good gym set up. So I just really trained in the gym because it was all I could really do. Prior to that, I'd spent nearly all of my formative years from about 13 through to 21, 22 using the old bull worker. Now, you're probably not even aware what a bull worker is, but it was almost like an isometric training regime that we used to do, and it gave me really good definition, not great muscle size, but very good muscle control and definition. But then the gym really became an absolute obsession for me once I started training. I fell in love with the sheer joy of going into the gym and the discipline required to motivate yourself to lift heavy weights and to really push through a session. And I've never lost that joy. I've never lost that challenge of actually getting myself into the gym to see how I can push myself. And the only real probably change that I've made in my training as I've aged is that I've really become much more cognizant of the need for the quality of my training over the quantity of my training. Yeah. So,
and what body type do you think you were when you first started out? Like, I know for myself, I'm a bit of an ectomorph. For those listening, you kind of got your ectomorph, mesomorph, and an endomorph. Ectomorph are typically, skinny frame, find it hard to put on weight, very high metabolism. Mesomorph seem to put on muscle mass relatively quickly, but manage to stay pretty lean. And then you got your endomorph who puts on weight relatively easily and finds it hard to stay lean. So what type of body type do you reckon you were?
I was a typical ectomorph. I was very, very thin, very lean, long limbed. Very skinny wrists, very skinny ankles.
Yep.
Extremely fast metabolism, and found it really difficult initially to really put on a lot of size at all, and very quickly lost size when I didn't train. It was only, and it's only been through having had, now effectively 35, 36 odd years of solid training where I've never had really more than a week off.
Yep.
That I've been able to actually maintain muscle mass. Yeah, no. So I was your typical hard gainer, very, very thin physique, very, very long limbs, long levers, but very fine joints. One of the things that compromised my training when I was younger, and certainly through my 20s and early 30s, because I didn't have a great understanding of body types and the need to vary your training depending on your body type, I had a lot of tendon issues because I didn't train consistent for my body type. I didn't understand the need to train for your body type at that time, which led to a lot of tendon issues and a lot of joint issues, which I was able to correct as I studied more and as I learned more and as I went on to study exercise physiology. I really learnt the need and the requirement to really understand what your body type was, but also to listen to your body as well with respect to how you were recovering from training and how important obviously nutrition was in that as well.
Yeah. Now that kind of leads me into the next part of the interview, Matt. What is your philosophy on nutrition? Has it changed over the years, or is there something that you've stuck to right from the get-go, or what is your...
No, it's changed dramatically. The most fundamental change that I've probably undergone is that there's not a one-size-fits-all approach to nutrition. I certainly, as I've aged, I certainly don't require anywhere near the level of carbohydrates that I needed as a young person.
Yep.
My body certainly is much more efficient now than it ever was from a nutritional point of view, in that I understand implicitly that what I eat really does impact on how I feel. Both from a physical level, but also a cognitive functioning level as well. So my attitudes have changed very much. I don't now really subscribe to a rule of thumb for macros or micros or calorie intake. It's very much how my body is responding and what it is I'm trying to achieve with any given period of my training cycle. So, for instance, I will up my protein if I am doing really solid blocks of training where I'm doing sort of lower reps and higher weight, and then I stop eating as much protein if I'm doing higher reps, lower weight. It really varies depending on where I'm at in my training cycle, and I try and mix my training cycle up. So one of the things I do consistently though is that I have protein with every meal, and depending on my training cycle, sometimes those meal variances will be 4 meals a day, sometimes they will be 6, but I never, ever miss a meal without a source of protein in it. I like to vary my sources of protein. I also like, though, to start my day with very dense nutrients. So, for instance, I like to start every single day with a green smoothie, and the green smoothie consists of a number of vegetables and some fruit. So fruits I very much concentrate just on high fiber, low fructose fruits, being your mixed berries and your kiwi fruit, which I always put in. I then have a mixture of carrot, kale, celery, I add ginger, chili, maca powder, which I'm very fond of, spirulina, which I'm very fond of, cacao powder, which I'm fond of, chia seeds and hemp seeds, which interestingly enough have now been approved for nutrition for consumption, which I'm really excited about because they're a very nutrient-dense food and in terms of their amino profile, are a complete amino profile. So that's a really important start to the day for me to have that meal. I have that every day and have done for over 30 years now. And that's it's a great way as a smoothie. It's a great way of breaking down the cellular integrity of the food and really being able to absorb the nutrients. I always train in the morning and I eat after I've trained. And so that's a really good meal to really help me recover from my training session and to set me up for my eating for the rest of the day.
Yeah, great. And before I move into the training side of things in the interview, I guess from the outside in, your other passion is business. You've been very successful with business. Where did that all start and kind of where are you at now with in kind of what are you doing business-wise?
Okay, so yeah, business has always been a motivating factor for me in that I've always understood that with business, you're in, to a large extent, in control, but you also get out of it what you put in. And so I've always been a disciplined person. That's why I love the discipline of eating the way that I do and of training the way that I do, because it requires a certain set of parameters which are virtually non-negotiables, and that's what I've tried to apply in business as well, that there are just non-negotiables, and those non-negotiables for me are that if the business is yours, then it's incumbent upon you as the business owner to make sure you do all of the things that you need to do every single day, that you leave nothing to the next day that you could do today. So that's my overriding principle. Yep. Right now, my partner and I run four businesses, and they're all under the one roof, which makes it really, really easy for us in that we run a dance studio, a health food cafe, my nutritional business, which is On Track Eating, and also a photography studio. What I love about business is the fact that I get to interact with people on a day-to-day basis, but also to hopefully provide them with some really meaningful information with respect to how much control that they can have over their own life and their destiny as such. I love to be able to encourage people who want to go into business that they have the capacity, provided they are prepared to do the work. And, you know, business is not a confronting thing, provided you are very comfortable in the environment that you're in and provided your expectations are real as well. You know, just because you go into business, trust me, that doesn't mean you're rolling in cash world's a beautiful place. There's a lot of work involved. There's a hell of a lot of commitment. But it's commitment that is, you know, justified by virtue of the fact that it's yours. And that you're the person who's influencing it most, and that brings with it in and of itself a certain sense of satisfaction that one you've been prepared to take the chances and to basically put yourself on the line and to get out of it what you put into it as well, and but also to provide opportunities for people to come and work with you and to work alongside you and to. As I said, have a positive influence on people's lives. And, you know, for me, I'll probably never stop working. I'm a bit hyperactive and I can't ever see myself retiring because I see no value in being idle. That's probably my main motivation for being in business is that no one can retire me. I can only retire myself. And in my case, I think, you know, that retirement will come on the day that they start nailing the lid shut. Because, you know, as I said, I really enjoy the fact that I have responsibility every day and that I have something to do every day. It's great to be able to get up and eat well, and it's great to get up and go and train. But I also need the motivation of knowing that I've got responsibilities, I've got things to do, because it does make and add a huge dimension to my health and wellness, I believe. Being able to work for myself and be in business, you know, provides a real great fillip in terms of my health and wellness, because it gives me great motivation, great passion, and great opportunity every day to have a positive contribution, not only to myself, but to the lives of others.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. The similarities between, you know, working on your own body and running your own business are huge. Like you said, it's all up to you. It comes down to discipline. It's never ending. There's always something that can improve. And really, you have as long as the choice is yours, how long you choose to work on it. And that leads us perfectly into the next part of the interview. And I wanted you to kind of talk a little bit about use it or lose it, the theory of using it or losing it in regards to your body. Obviously, yes. With age, training becomes a bit harder. Recovery comes a bit harder. The nutrition side of things become more important. So what advice do you have for those that might be listening that are, getting to the point where they're not able to train as well as they used to, whether it be they've got sore spots or they just can't push as hard in the gym? What's some advice you can give to those people?
Well, the answer to that is if you can't push hard in the gym, it's then your body is sending you a clear message. If you're not able to do what you once did, then your body is telling you you don't need to. That's my first take on that. Because if you are able to lift the weights that you used to be able to lift, that would mean that your body is still able to do it. Now, if you're not able to do that, then it's time to reconcile that thought with yourself and to accept that you're not going to lift what you once did. But that doesn't mean you change your motivation for training or your passion for training or your discipline for training. It just means that you change up your training to suit where you're at here and now. I'm a great believer in move or use it. If you look at the way our bodies are designed, we really are a marvel of nature's engineering. If you look at our musculoskeletal system and our physiology, and if you look at our cellular integrity and the reactions and the chemical reactions and the neuro reactions within our body, it's all about using it. It's all about moving it and using it. So moving it from a musculoskeletal point of view,
yep,
and used from a cell well-being point of view and a chemical and hormonal balance point of view. The more we move it, the more we use it, the better the chemical reactions, the better the hormonal balance. All of that are predicated upon, obviously, by making sure that you've got good nutrition. Our bodies are designed, if you look at us and the way we're designed, we are designed for movement. And yes, we do have to be cognizant of the fact that as we get older, we might not lift as heavily as we did. But the reality is, as we get older, we also get smarter. So we actually don't need to lift like we did. Also, our egos, I hope, aren't as profound as they once were when we were younger, where, a lot of the time we lifted with our egos and not with our heads and all with our bodies. Our egos dictated to a large extent the way we train. But the reality is, no matter what our age, no matter what our health as such, we have a responsibility to ourselves that if we can move and we can use our minds, then we should, because, there is nothing more beneficial for us as human beings, nothing more beneficial for our joints and for our muscle and for the positive chemical reactions that take place within our body than to move and to use our mind. There's a certain stimulation that comes physically and mentally from moving that I don't think we can underestimate in terms of beneficial from a total health and wellness perspective. We really are designed for movement, and I should think we should always appreciate and respect that. And age is not an impediment. There is never, and I have never yet seen a reason why we can't, even if I've been to powerlifting comps around the world where I've seen 92 and 95 year old people still competing in powerlifting comps, and there's nothing more inspirational, because these people might lift only small weights and they might look very old, but their mental state and their joy in living is absolutely paramount, and there is nothing more inspiring than that. And the weight that they're lifting is irrelevant. It's the fact that they are moving and they are active because they choose to be. Yep. And I don't think we can ever, ever appreciate just how important that is for us.
100%. Just a quick question, a little bit off topic. When you were growing up, or even now, who were your favourite bodybuilders?
Oh, Arnie, without a shadow of a doubt. My Arnie was my absolute favourite. My next favourite was a guy called Serge Nubray.
Yep.
Don't know whether you're familiar with him. He was just brilliant. One of the things I liked about Serge Nubray, he's another person that influenced many of my habits, in that Serge spoke often about the need to have a 20-minute power nap. If ever you felt like you needed to, you should have a 20-minute power nap. The value of power naps that I've found is that if you feel you need a power nap, the benefit of that is really, really quite significant. And one of the things that I've done, and I've incorporated very much into my life, is to have a power nap whenever I've needed it. I only do it for 20 minutes, and I'm that well adjusted to it now that I can actually go to sleep for 20 minutes and wake up exactly 20 minutes later. What I did find when I initially started to incorporate power naps, and I don't have them very often, but when I do feel like I need one, I will take one. But what I did found when I first started doing it, if I slept for more than 20 minutes, say between 20 minutes, just over 20 minutes to an hour, I'd actually wake up feeling worse. But if I stopped at that 20 minutes and was able to wake up at that 20 minutes, I just felt completely refreshed and energized.
Yeah.
And Serge Nubay was the person that basically put me onto that technique, and it stood me in really good stead. As I said, I don't do it often, but when I do recognize within myself that I need to have a 20-minute sleep, I can just put my head down for 20 minutes and go to sleep and then work for hours upon hours after that.
Has anyone ever told you look like Arnold? Because I have you saved as Arnold in my phone.
Yes. Your picture comes up
when you call me.
Yes. When I was much younger and had much more hair than I have today, and when I was certainly much bigger, I used to be around 110 kilos. I was often likened to Arnie. I have a very similar look to Arnie. It's nowhere near the mass nor the great acting skills that Arnie had. And I've certainly never became the Governator. I did used to cop that a bit when I was younger. And I always took it as a great compliment, I could tell you. Because as you said, he and Muhammad Ali were my absolute childhood heroes. Probably Muhammad Ali was my greatest childhood hero. But Arnie, from a bodybuilding perspective, was an absolute god as far as I was concerned. I bought his books, I bought his videos. I love watching his videos. I love his connection, his mind-body connection. I thought was really quite ahead of its time. And I've always been fascinated by that. I've always had a great belief in it. And I thought he was at the absolute forefront of making that mind-muscle or mind-body connection. He, Muhammad Ali and Serge Nubay would have been my favourite athletes, I'd suggest.
Awesome. Now, over the years, I'm assuming you've probably, and tried and tested a number of different training methods, probably all of them that are bloody out there. But what have you found that works best for you? Do you stick to the one thing, or do you like to rotate things around depending on how your body's feeling or what type of training phase you're in?
Yeah, look, I didn't. For the first, probably the first 8 years of my training, I changed nothing other than try to go into the gym and lift heavier every single time. And it was very much a case of not leaving my ego at the door, taking my ego into the gym and letting everybody see just how strong I was. After about 8 years of that and getting some really incredibly sore joints and sore tendons and really struggling to recover from training, I actually then started to study exercise physiology. And as a consequence of that, I've changed my training up dramatically. One of the things I've enjoyed with training with you, I think you have a mindset that's not dissimilar to mine. You're very happy to trial things and to see how you respond, and I think that's important. But you also very much focus on the quality of your training.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really do believe in is that we should very much understand what works for us. Again, it comes back to this. It's this very attitude. My attitude is very much the same to that of my eating and of my advice to clients, and that is you've got to find what works for you. And not be frightened to mix it up and to look at ways of stimulating yourself both through training and through eating by being prepared to really evaluate how your body responds both from a training and eating perspective. So, I will often change my rep ranges, like I said. I'll often change the order in which I train. I'll often change the days in which I train. The only probably consistent thing that I do is that I always train at the same time every day. I enjoy that. It's, for me, it's the best way to start a day for me has always been to do a form of training.
What time do you train?
I train between 6 and 6.30 every morning.
Yep.
And I love it. It's for me, Danny, a lot of people love yoga. A lot of people love meditation. A lot of people like anything that gives them mindfulness. And for me, going into a gym at that time of the day gives me my mindfulness. It's my form of yoga or meditation, and that it really clears my head and it allows me to set myself up for the day knowing that I've done something that's really valuable for me, both from a physical, mental and spiritual point of view, because it is very much a spiritual thing for me in many ways. And it sets me up for the day. There are often times, though, too, when I will feel the need to go back into the gym later in the day. If I'm having a really busy day at work, I'll quite often go to the gym for a 15 or 20 minute just quick cardio session or an ab session or a stretching session, just because, it clears my head, it gives me mindfulness, and it gives me some clarity in thinking. So,
Releases like the endorphins as well, which is what makes you feel so good.
It does, absolutely. I mean, I think, as long as I'm prepared to be always open to what my body, what signals my body is telling me, that generally will, for me, dictate when I need to change up my training or whether I need to be doing something slightly differently. I've never, ever wanted to compete or to be on stage. It's always been very much a personal endeavor for me because of what it brings to me. And you know, I can't speak highly enough of the benefits that it has given me for, you know, all of my life from a training perspective, but from a weight training perspective, certainly the last, you know, 38 years, it's been a significant, if not the most significant part of my health and wellness, to be honest.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Lionel, mate, to wrap things up, would you be able to give any listeners, so a lot of the listeners here are probably new to training, you know, whether it's male or female, what advice would you have someone that is just kind of getting into the gym for the first time, or even someone that's been lifting for a few years but looking to step it up and take their training to the next level? What piece of advice would you give?
The probably best advice I could have is to have clear expectations and a clear understanding of what you're capable of and what you're prepared to put in, because ultimately you will only get out of it what you're prepared to put in. But also to have realistic expectations as well. I see too many people that have unrealistic expectations who will either not train anymore because they haven't met their own unrealistic expectations, or they will look to cheat in order to achieve what was initially unrealistic expectations. So you have a very clear and focused understanding of why you're going to the gym and what it is you are hoping to achieve. And then set about achieving that, because no matter what your goals and aspirations are, we are all capable of achieving them, provided they're real and provided we understand them and provided we're prepared to do what we need to do to achieve what our own goals and aspirations are. And the other thing is to try and enjoy it. See it as a lifestyle rather than as a quick fix or a short-term thing. Try and turn it into something that you can understand and appreciate will stand you in good stead for the rest of your life. Even if your training habits change or if your style of training changes, if you can understand and appreciate that any form of training and movement that you're prepared to commit to for life is going to benefit you for life.
Yeah, definitely. And that first point you mentioned there about setting realistic goals, I think that's really important as well, because you know, I see a lot of people, whether it be even with business as well, setting huge goals, but their work ethic is not aligned with what their goals are. Setting yourself up for failure, aren't you?
That's exactly right. I mean, you and I have both seen it. I've seen so many people that have gone into business, and because they've gone into business, they've decided that they're businessmen or business people.
Yep.
And then they change the way that they act, and to their own detriment. I'm probably a classic example of that. Many, many, many years ago, I lost a significant amount of money because I was in business and I just decided, for whatever reason, ego mainly, I suggest, that, you know, I was the be-all and end-all. And so for a period of time, I changed my approach. I lost the discipline and the attention to detail. And you pay a price for that, you know, and it's a price that you don't have to pay, provided you're prepared to be open and honest with yourself. And that comes from having realistic goals and expectations. and understanding that nothing comes for nothing.
Awesome, mate. Thanks so much for joining us today. There's been heaps of valuable content in here that the listeners will be able to take home. And next time I'm back home, we'll definitely do another one. We might even get a video interview or film another training session or something. But guys, Lionel has also written a blog for my website, so I'll put the link to that in the show notes below. But mate, if there's anything else you want to mention before we finish up, feel free.
No, Danny, only that it's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm very proud of the work that you do and the manner in which you approach your work and your diligence and your commitment, not only to yourself but to your clients. And mate, I think if more and more people can access people like yourself and learn and apply what you and others like you are able to teach them, you know, the world in itself will be a better place because we'll be healthier and happier. So look forward to training with you again soon, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening, guys. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to get your new episode every single week. Thanks again, Lionel, and everybody that's listening. I'll chat to you in next week's episode.